And our next speaker is Mike.
Good morning. My name is Mike, and I'm alcoholic. And I'm truly blessed to be here. I'd like to thank the people that come to this wonderful breakfast. It's the first time I've been to a CSO breakfast. And thank Lenny. He asked me Thursday night to come and speak, and it's a cool deal. Now this is just my experience of establishing my relationship with God. That's what I'm going to share with you, from my point of view. I grew up in Portland. Single mother, on Grant Street, and finally moved to a place where I turned 18 at, 13 years, I lived on Munjoy Hill, and that's not what makes me alcoholic, even though I like to say it did, very, very early on, I thought there was something wrong with me at a very young age. When I was in elementary school, they had me go to these classes. They were special ed classes. And they had me go in, and they thought there was all these things wrong with me. My handwriting was really bad. I was just really acted out, violent kid. So very early on, I had this impression that there was something very, very wrong with me. So I spent the rest of my life, thinking there's something wrong with me, because that's the only reason why I drink and drug, is to feel right inside. The funny thing is that after I got a little older, I was gifted. I had all these talents. I was involved in acting and things like that. So I had this really confused message my whole life of who I was and what my purpose was. My first spiritual experience was at 6 years old via a coffee brandy bottle, and my mother gave me that drink. And I don't think she gave it to me thinking that, understand the consequences it would have later on in my life. But that was my first spiritual experience. It changed everything, the way I viewed life, and at a very, very young age, 6 years old. And I can't tell you what I got for Christmas, at six, or anything significant in my life at 6 years old. But, man, do I remember that first drink. I spent a lot of time in my life trying to get myself in a better position in life. Everybody in my life, my mother, my friends, we're always trying to get me in a better position, just like a detox or an outpatient program. I was so convinced that if I could just get in a better position like that, I could finally be happy, because that's what I've been doing my whole life, just trying to be happy. And my experience is just this and nothing less. I spent hundreds of hours and money, I finally got some bills when you start looking at your mens, in outpatient programs, detoxes, halfway houses, to find only one thing, that the steps were free. I spent a long time, wondering how I can be happy, and I found it through God, through the steps. I've lost the power of choice, and drink. I have to get clean and sober on a spiritual basis. That's my problem. That's my powerlessness. But the funny thing is that once you find some power, you have some power in your life. I don't remain powerless forever. I get some power today. My first experience, I came into AA the very first time. My first sobriety date was May 1st, 2000, and it was about 12 days before my 21st birthday. So that tells you where I was at in my life. And a woman actually 12-stepped me. So if you're in here and you don't think you can help the opposite sex, you're wrong, because she carried the message to me. She brought me into a detox meeting and left me in the back and left me there. I was fresh out of, three detox runs, and, I thought I had all the answers. I think that we have a lot of people out there that are well-intentioned, but they really can't help all of us. They can help us with a lot of other things, but they can't help us with alcoholism and drug addiction. We have experience with that. We have the power to do something no one else can do. I stayed sober. And the last time I used prior to that was at a sober party. I was invited to a sober party. I raided the medicine cabinet. And I stayed up all night, talking whatever principles I thought I had at that time. Principles are funny, A bank robber has principles, Sometimes we get caught up in this, well, they don't live by principles, man. Everybody has principles. They have laws and rules that they live by, And I had those as well, at that time. I got active, man. I had people in my life when I first came into AA that told me the truth. And I think love and tolerance is telling someone the truth, even if you think they're going to be hurt. I think that's what a friend is. You know, and then today I examine how I am to others, and I put people in my life that are going to tell me the truth. You know, I give people spiritual consent, you know, and I think that's what a sponsor is, you know, someone that I give a spiritual license to tell me the truth. So they told me things like, get a sponsor. You know, I'd be hanging out with some people in AA, and they'd be with me the whole time, and 15 minutes would go by, and they'd be like, yeah, sponsor yet? And I'm like, man, I've been with you, you know, the whole time. You obviously know I haven't got a sponsor. And they said it over and over and over again. And they loved me enough to know that I needed, you know, a spiritual program of action. You know, I got a sponsor, and I started to work the steps. And it's a funny thing about alcoholics. You know, once you get a little time under your belt, you know, you get the job, you get the house, you know, you get all these material things that we think we need so badly. And once I got that all lined, you know, I wasn't anymore the creature. I started becoming the creator. I didn't need you guys anymore, and I sure didn't want your help. I had this locked down, and after about a year of being clean and sober, and I share this, not in bad taste, but just to give you an idea what happens, you know, when you remove alcohol from the alcoholic or drugs from the drug addict, is I was a year sober, working for an escort service, thinking I was going to bring the girls that I was driving for to God. You know, that's where I was at. That's my mentality. That was a viable solution, man. You know, that was a viable solution. And it worked well, you know, for about a month. And I ended up going back out. And I'll tell you what, you know, what makes me an alcoholic, because I think it's important to know what it is to be an alcoholic, because if I don't understand what it is to be an alcoholic, I'm not going to stay here. You know, and if I don't have a job in AA, I'm not going to stay here either. If I'm not active, I'm not going to stay here. I'm just going to go right out the door. And what I found, and what the big book says as an alcoholic, and it talks about it in a few different places, is the fact that I can't guarantee you how much I'm going to drink. You know, I might set out to drink 3, but I might have 6, you know what I mean, or 15 most of the time. But, you know, I don't have the power to guarantee how much I'm going to drink. And not only that, when my mother and everybody in my life, when the job was on the line, everything was on the line, I looked them dead in the eye and said, I'm not going to do it anymore, and I'd do it anyways. Not only that, more convincing testimony is that when I stayed sober for a year, you know, man, I didn't have no mental obsession any longer after a year, but I had the crazy thinking. I had the crazy thinking upstairs, man. My problem is once I get sober, the mental state that precedes picking up the first drink. And the only thing that straightens that out is a spiritual experience. You know, I have a malady. And it tells me before the discussion, the resentment, the fourth step, that you know, I have a malady. And that once I take care of the malady, I straighten out mentally and physically. You know, so I had no power, man. You know, I had no power for a long time. Lack of power has been my dilemma my whole life, you know. Really has. And today I don't live like that. You know, I have some power. You know, a guy once said, and it was said best, you know, grace lasts only long as ignorance. And once you see some truth, you need some power in your life to do something with the truth that you see. You know, God's grace falls on all of us evenly, and I just sometimes am willing to accept it more than others, you know. So what happened is I came out, when I went back out, I was drinking, I was going to the store, and I didn't want to go, and I was doing it anyways. And my last drink that I had, you know, was in January of 2003, and it was nothing different than the last time that I went out. You know, I was sitting at a strip club, and I was drinking Captain Morgan's and Coke, and something came over me, you know, and it said, Mike, go back to AA. You know, I just could not stand doing what I was doing anymore. And that wasn't a big bottom. You know, I had worse bottoms and things that happened in my life, you know, sober than that, you know. But it came over me so strong and powerfully that was the last time I had a drink. And I up until that point, I absolutely had no power to choose whether I'm not going to do this or not. You know, I don't have the power to choose whether I'm going to stay sober or not. You know, if I had the power to do that, I wouldn't be here with you crazy guys. You know what I mean? I'd be out, you know, being selfish and dishonest somewhere else, you know. You know, that was the case. And I came into the fellowship, and I knew there was a solution, you know. And I think that there's a big difference between the fellowship and the program. You know, the fellowship is a cool deal. You know, you can come in and say you're a member, and you're a member. You know, the program of action, which has been around for, you know, 70-plus years, is in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's very clear what that is. And it's the 12 steps, you know. it's kind of funny when I think about it. Like, what was I doing in a 12-step program if I'm not working the steps? You know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense. So I started to embark on the journey through the 12 steps, and I continue to today. I haven't finished all my amends, and I fall short of God's glory all the time, and I try to do His work to the best of my willingness, you know. And that's through action and pain, you know, is when I want to practice this stuff. So I set out, you know, to rejoin the fellowship and work the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And today, instead of feeling the spirit of the fellowship, I've definitely felt the fellowship of the spirit. I by no means, like I said before, do this perfectly. And the only thing that I did was get a sponsor, you know, or a mentor, you know, and I gave him the consent. And I started to work the steps rapidly, you know. When it gets up to the fourth step, you know, that's on me. You know, it's how fast I can write. Same thing with the amends, how quickly I want to go out and get right with God. And I think that, you know, I sit down with guys and they say, you know, why? What is the difference between me and you? And there is no difference, you know. I'm just a goon, you know. I'm just a freak show. I'm just like them, and the only thing that's different is I've done some things, you know. I've cleared this stuff up. I give this analogy and talk about, you know, being at the mall, and that's something we can all relate to, you know, the main mall and Christmas, and I'm standing in the food court, and God's at one end, and I'm at the other end, and I'm talking to God. I'm like, yo, you know, I need your help, and He's back trying to give me the answers, and all this noise is in between us, you know, and we're trying to, I can't communicate with Him. And I think what the steps does is it clears that slowly up. You know, the noise between me and God. And I don't only talk to God, I have to listen to God too. You know, my whole life I've wanted one-way, you know, relationships with people and things and places, you know. And today I learned that it's definitely a two-way deal. Coming in into the fellowship and working the steps is not an easy thing. You know, it's a time-consuming process, but as long as I do it, and I continue to do it, you know, I have a wonderful experience whenever I'm doing it. One of the biggest lessons I've learned about happiness, because that's my big thing, you know, I just want to feel good right now, you know, that's really what I'm concerned with, is, you know, a guy once said, a real hero of mine once said, you know, how can I ever be happy if the things I believe in are different from the things I do? You know, how can I ever, if I have these things that I feel in my heart that are right, how can I ever be happy if I'm doing the exact opposite and I'm not trying to practice that? And I think that's what I try to do today. You know, I don't always want to go out and meet with a guy. I don't always want to answer my phone, but I do it. You know, it says that selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of my troubles, you know, and that's the case with me. Now, the third step has taught me a lot. You know, the third step in the discussion, the third step tells me that I have a new employer, you know, and it being all-powerful to provide what I need as long as I do His work well. You know, I perform His work well. And I thought that I was going to come into AA and learn how to live life on life's terms. You know, I was convinced that, you know, that's what I'll learn, you know, and I've learned something differently than that, and I want to share that with you. I've learned how to live life on God's terms, you know, and there's a big difference, because I've been living life on life's terms my whole life. That's my problem, you know. But living life on God's terms is my job today, and it's only through action and prayer and meditation and seeking power and truth about myself that I'm able to do that. You know, I think that the message I like to convey today is one for the new guy, you know. I want to thank everybody that came in to AA and our sister fellowships, because my first experience with AA was through Allentine when I was younger. But I want to thank everybody that was ever involved in our fellowship and sister fellowships out there to stick around, that stuck around. And I want to thank the people that, you know, talked about God in meetings, you know, even though some of us don't like to do that. I want to thank you, because that's the only thing that can help a guy like me. You know, and the new guy, it's funny, you know, sometimes I'll go into AA meeting and I'll see someone next to me and I'll know that they're new and I won't say nothing to them. You know, I do it, you know. But this more important thing is that, you know, the new guy that comes in, and if you've been around and you've been, you're in a meeting that you're familiar with, You know, we know a couple of things, even if we haven't worked the steps, we can't sponsor somebody. And I say this from time to time, and something I've been thinking about lately. You know, the two most simple things that an alcoholic needs when he goes name eating is, where's the coffee and where's the bathroom? You know? And that's something that I think all of us can do as long as we're in a meeting that we're familiar with. We know where the coffee and the bathroom is. And when I'm really doing this stuff, I'll ask somebody. If I don't know who they are, I introduce myself to them and ask them if they've been there before. Most of the time, you know, after you've been around for a little while, you can tell who the new guys are, you know. And I ask them, and I tell them where the coffee and the bathroom is. More importantly is the fact that that we need the newcomer. You know, there's guys out there that I can't get. You know, my approach to things and the way that that I am, my personality, the things that I've experienced, because it's my story, you know, is different. And I can't always grab every guy, you know. But the new guy that comes in, you know, they have the power, you know, to help others. And we need newcomers to carry the message, to do service work, to do all these things. We need them to stay sober. So if you're new in here, you know, I beg you to work the steps. You know, find out first if you're an alcoholic, because I'm, you know, like I said, I'm the real McCoy. Find out if you're the real deal or not. You know, work the steps, then turn around and help someone else. You know, it's a wonderful thing, you know, to have the power to help somebody. And I find that I learn more through myself as I put myself out there, you know, and do things like this. And not only that, sit one-on-one and share my experience with a guy and share what my experience was as working the steps. You know, that in itself is something that I have to offer now that I've done it. Before, all I could do was, you know, sit in meetings, you know, and shut my mouth and, you know, try to be of service the best that I'm able to. So, again, I thank everybody for being here, and I thank everybody that sticks around, you know, and helps us carry the message of hope to the new guy. That's all I have.